listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm the mother flipping rhinoceros. My bees are fat and the birds are on my back and I'm honing. If you choose to proceed, you will indeed concede because I will hit you with my Florida wild rhino stampede. I'm not just wild, I'm trained, domesticated. I was raised by a rapper and rhino that dated and subsequently procreated. That's how it goes. It's the hip hop hippopotamus, the hip hop hippo. They call me the hip hop hippopotamus. My lyrics are bottomless. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen. I was like, did you break?
No, that's how it goes. That's part of the rap. He says his lyrics are bottomless, then he can't think of no more raps, and then Brett got to come back and save him. Shout out to Flight of the Conchords. Anyway, guys, this is the Black Guy Who Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, search Podomatic, leave us 5-star reviews. As long as you are, you know, positive, saying nice things that we agree with. You know, speaking in a polite manner, we tone police the fuck out of our 5-star reviews, but we'll read them on the air as long as they nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial spizort
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extremo. And today's podcast is actually double sponsored. That's right, this podcast is brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today. Get your first month free at getbevel.com/TBGWT. It's no longer you put in a code, you just go to the vanity link. It'll be in the show notes, but you get your first month free, okay? And also, we're brought to you by Loot Crate. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter code TBGWT, and you can save $3 off of any new subscription at lootcrate.com. This month, the theme is magical. Okay, guys? So, you know, make sure you guys get ready to do that. Don't forget also, you can sign up for different boxes. You can get they got a gamer loot crate, they got an anime loot crate, they got pet loot crate. I mean, just sign up lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBG to save $3 off of any of the subscriptions. All right, let's talk about news, guys. All kinds of stuff is happening, just random news. Washington DC, the district, y'all, has voted to legalize assisted suicide. Yep. Washington DC has voted to legalize assisted suicide. The city council voted 11-2 in favor of the bill on Tuesday afternoon. It will permit doctors to prescribe life-ending drugs to mentally independent patients who have less than 6 months to live. So it seems like there's still some
stipulation to it. Yeah.
After the vote was adjourned, the Washington DC Archdiocese held an impromptu prayer circle in the town hall denouncing the vote. I guess that's as close as the Catholic Church gets to the Black Church. They really pulled a, we gonna pray for y'all.
True.
Mayor Muriel E. Bowser, who's a Democrat, who has not voiced a position on legislation, still has the right to veto. Without a veto, this vote makes D.C. the sixth municipality to legalize euthanasia amid a growing swell in support, despite heated opposition. The Death with Dignity Act is based on the law Oregon passed in 1997, the first in the country. Patients must be mentally and physically sound enough to feed themselves the lethal medication prescription, the lethal medication prescribed by a doctor. So you have to give it to yourself. This bill allows someone who is on death's doorstep the option to choose a peaceful death, to decide in one's final moments when the illness is terminal and death is imminent, how he or she will face the end, said Democrat Councilmember Mary Chet, who sponsored the bill. That's interesting, man. I mean, I actually support that. It's kind of, I mean, I don't think anybody else can decide when somebody else wants to end their life, and then often, you know, it's because of how we feel as people that have nothing to do with these people's lives. Right. It's like our own selfishness and being like, you can't waste the gift that is life. If there's even a 0.0001%, maybe you're gonna be the first person to beat this disease, you know, like, but that's not for everybody else to decide. It's a very personal decision that you have to make internally and deal with yourself. So, you know, I don't have any issues with that. All right, let's see here. Apparently in Texas at a Halloween party, a man dressed as Freddy Krueger shot five people.
Oh, I didn't know Freddy Krueger busting caps.
Apparently so. It turned violent overnight this party when a man dressed as Freddy Krueger pulled a gun from his costume and opened fire in the crowd, shooting five people. According to the police, around 5 a.m. Sunday morning, a group of males showed up at a Halloween party and started causing trouble. One of the men dressed as Freddy Krueger then opened fire and shot five people. Damn. So it sounds like it wasn't it don't matter if a bullet hits me, but it sounds like it wasn't a premeditated, like, let me show up and kill these people at this party.
Yeah, but yeah, you need to be charged with something.
Yeah, one of the victims tried to drive her car to the hospital, but crashed it on the way. Police said, there was also a violence at a Halloween party in New York. Authorities said gunfire at a Halloween party killed two women and left five people injured. Police say none of the wounded have life-threatening injuries. The dead women have been identified as 20-year-old Tabitha Cruz and 18-year-old Omani Free, both of Newburgh, 70 miles north of New York City. So in New York, they had another shooting. Shit, man. Halloween party's getting dangerous, cuz.
Right. I just thought I was trick-or-treating and giving away candy.
Right. Let's see what else is happening. Chris Rock did an interview, and he talked about producing hit comedies, writing top jokes, and director Amy Schumer. Of course, Amy Schumer's been in the news for her Formation tribute.
Mm-hmm.
So he got interviewed, and he was said, and I just found some of it to be interesting. Some people aren't making comedy for me, like, oh well, this is his words, okay? So this is his answer to the question.
So he's talking.
Yeah. Some people aren't making comedy for me, like Samantha B. This is not for me. This is for a certain group of women, and I gotta kind of defer. I think everyone should be funny to the people that look like you first. All right. So you need to be funny to the people that look like you first. So I guess for white women, you need to be funny to white women first. When you're black, you need to be funny to black people first. When you're whatever, the audience you should try to please the most, or at first and foremost, is the people that look like you, is his opinion.
I don't agree.
You don't think so? What do you think they should do then?
Funny is funny. And the thing about funniness and the thing about jokes is that laughter crosses boundaries. And you could be black, and everybody has different senses of humor too, and so you have black people in their sense of humor and their comedy depends on what kind it is. A lot of black people go, I don't think that shit's funny. So it's not fair to tell somebody whose comedy, quote unquote, some black people might not find funny, or the foundation of black people might not find funny, to go, well, you have to make this group of people laugh. No, I disagree with that.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I can see his point somewhat, because it's almost like when a black comedian comes out and it's almost like they're trying to be funny to white people at the detriment of black people. Sometimes that shit irks me and bothers me. Like, where it's like, oh, you're picking on us because you want white people to like you. Or when women comedians come out and it's almost like, I'm going to make jokes that pick on women like a man, because I'm, you know, that's what all these male comedians are doing and getting ahead. So I'm going to imitate that, you know? So I can kind of understand his point of view, which is, you know, if you're not speaking from a perspective that sort of encompasses this lived experience of whatever group you fall into, then what exactly is your voice?
True. And the thing is I guess I feel like everybody's voice, quote unquote, is different. And because blackness and these other genres crosses so many spectrums, you know, and I guess my simple thing is funny is funny. And yeah, what you're talking about causes a problem.
Part of what makes people funny, though, is that authenticity as well.
Right.
I think yes, Chris Rock as well. I mean, there's a certain amount of truth to what he's saying, in my opinion. Like, when Aisha Tyler does her set, and it seems almost like she's picking on black culture, like black people don't want you to be smart, black people say I talk white, black people are, you know, like y'all are fucked up, black people are fucked up. And that would, like, as a black person, it kind of tells you, like, well, this was, comedy was not really thought of with me in mind, unless I had a very specific lived experience of what she had.
That and that's true. And I do agree to what he's saying, but for her lived experience, that's her comedy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not going to take that away from her because it's not my jam. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like it. You know, if you're trying to say, you know, your lived experience, there are black people who live and grow up and they're quote unquote not connected to black culture. So a lot of their jokes are, will not be towards us, will not
yeah,
be
I don't think us. Yeah, I feel what you're saying. Yeah. I'm not saying that your obligation is to be like, I mean, whatever. Like, I'm gay. All my jokes got to make gay people feel comfortable and proud or whatever. I'm not even saying that. Just that I think when they're asking him about, like, Samantha Bee, he's like, well, there's a reason I'm not really worried about if I get the jokes or not. They're not really for me.
True.
Like, it's just, like, it's totally not something that I'm interested in. Whereas if I was a white woman, maybe I would gravitate more towards what her point of view, her perspective.
Yeah, yeah, and you can more relate to it. I think
the reason I'm kind of on board with that to a certain extent, because quite often people come and critique people's work when they really don't know shit about their lives.
True.
So as Chris Rock, cause he's talking about his role as a producer on Amy Schumer's comedy special. And he's basically like, I don't decide what joke worked or what she can talk about or what's funny and what's not funny. Because honestly, Samantha Bee's jokes aren't for me.
True.
So, well, while I might recognize something as funny, it doesn't resonate with me the same way it would resonate with, you know, a middle-aged white woman, possibly. Mm-hmm. Or whatever her audience is, very liberal young people, whatever. Like, I just think that's kind of an interesting take, because he's obviously, this is his career, and I mean, I think it'd be hard to argue that Chris Rock's not a master at comedy, you know. Anyway, he says that, I mean, you can kind of tell from his stand-up. I mean, it's just one philosophy. I'm sure there's others, but you can kind of tell from his stand-up. You know, like, his shit is, like, especially his earlier shit, it's very black.
True.
You know, it's very much, you know, from a black perspective. Anyway, there's definitely a role for producers in comedies, he says. It's just less of a role than it would be for something dramatic. He explained at a comedy-focused panel produced by New York, held Sunday at the Time Warner Center. Like, you can do any Jerry Bruckheimer movie and take the actor out, the movie's exactly the same. Get rid of Sean Connery, put in Clint Eastwood, same fucking movie. Oh, my bad, I was supposed to be saying it. Like, you can take any Jerry Bruckheimer movie and take the actor out, the movie's exactly the same. Get rid of Sean Connery, put in, I don't know, Clint Eastwood, same fucking movie. Try that with Talladega Nights and watch what happens.
It's gonna suck.
A lot of embarrassment there. A lot of embarrassment.
I agree with that statement.
And it's gonna be a lot of embarrassment. People will get fired. Then he held the mic sideways, it looked like this. You have to pick your boss, essentially, he said. It's a jockey job, ride a fucking horse. No one can ride Chris Tucker like Brett Ratner. Chris Tucker and Brett Ratner, woo, can't fuck with that combination. So I can understand that.
Yeah, because to a certain extent. There's certain things where, yeah, not trying to be funny. You can take one person out and plug the person in there. You got the same movie. But like you said, with Talladega Nights, nobody could have executed that but him. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, it wouldn't have been a fraction as funny.
He said, also, the best comedies are basically dramas with jokes. Dodgeball and Any Given Sunday are kind of the same movie. It's just different seasoning. Woody Allen, to me, all of them are dramas with jokes. In order to get the biggest laughs, you need something dramatic. The laughs have to be a release. added Louis producer M. Blair Breard, the difference between comedy and drama is the drama people get more money. The drama people are sometimes funny, but the comedy people are always dramatic. They're telling a story in a comedic way. So then, they also asked him, they asked him about how was it producing Amy Schumer. And he said, I never directed stand up. It never even crossed my mind. He said, I don't know shit. Part of being a producer, a good one anyways, is knowing when you don't know. I don't know. What I can help this person with is, why are you doing this joke? Are we getting the most out of it? Is there more meat on that bone? A lot of that is putting your ego in your back pocket and getting the most out of her. So there you go. I thought he had an interesting perspective on comedy.
True.
Because of course it's Chris Rock.
Yeah, and I do understand what we was talking about at first,
mm-hmm.
about being, I guess it's more of bringing the truth to yourself as a comedian and like speaking your voice. And yeah, there are a lot of comedians that I look at, they're very funny, but some of their jokes and the way they come across, I can't relate, but I know when funny is funny.
Yeah, I don't know how to put it in a kind way, but I'll just say this. If you are whatever, like, if you black and black people don't think you funny, something wrong with you. Something wrong with your comedy. I don't know what to tell you. Like, cause every type of experience is still a black experience. If you can't find a way on stage to still find some camaraderie with people from the same ilk as you, you're doing something wrong. I don't fuck with nobody like that, honestly. You know, because typically the only way that happens is for your shit to be filled with anti-blackness, you know.
Yeah.
So if your shit doesn't even resonate with people that, you know, have experienced the same thing, I don't know, man. It's like, I can't really respect that shit, and I don't feel bad about that at all. So and I think that's the kindest way to put it, you know. And I would assume the same thing for women, Asian people. You know, if there's an Asian comedian that you're like, oh man, do y'all, I know Asian people love him, and it's like, no, we hate that motherfucker. It's like, oh, what are they doing wrong?
Okay,
now, you know what I'm saying?
Now that I understand, yes.
But he also was talking from like a producer perspective and shit too. A New Hampshire cop harassed a woman rookie and ranked female drivers according to their rapeability. The people you have to report your sexual assault to, the cops. Yep, he's a lieutenant. He told a woman who was a rookie at the time that he ranks the women drivers he pulls over according to their rapeability and wishes he could sexually assault them. Yep. Former New Boston police officer Alexandra Drake filed this lawsuit alleging that she was fired from her job when she complained to supervisors about sexual harassment by Officer Michael Masala. It's amazing how often that happens, by the way. You complain about sexual harassment, the shit they teach you in the course when you take the job. Mm-hmm. They this is bad, let us know if it happens. You tell them and they fire you, which is in the textbook case for,
right?
Like, it's like, why it's don't you textbook. Just give them the money? It's a textbook case for getting sued
because you're gonna pay them. You go from being one of the best, Professor LCH said this, you go from being the best of the best and no problem to being fired.
Yeah.
That raises all types of flags.
You're getting all kinds of positive reviews and shit in your performance appraisals, and then suddenly you say, hey, this guy keeps saying some messed up stuff to me. Yeah, you're fired. You're terrible. You're not going to work here. But institutions often protect those kind of people and yeah, end up to their detriment.
They don't give a fuck. Their money's a drop in the bucket.
Hmm.
Because why else would you just not give a fuck? Like, you basically, like you say, you basically writing them checks.
Hmm. But I guess to me, what I'm saying, what it feels to me is like, well, if the money's a drop in the bucket and you don't give a fuck, then just fire the dude. So it's something, it's big, it's deeper than the money. You see what I'm saying? Cause like, it cost them more money to pay this lawsuit than it cost to employ that dude.
True.
So they kept it, they just, it's something about the status quo, keeping that dominance, keeping that privilege, keeping that, you know, that culture, it's something about that is worth the millions of dollars. It's just like police brutality lawsuits and shit. It's something about it where, well, no, I take it back. It's not like police brutality lawsuits, actually. It's nothing like that, because police do that as a municipality so they can bring in income by basically creating this alternate tax on black and brown people. So actually, that's the money justifying the cost. This is a cost of business. This is different.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, they just don't give a fuck. Like, that's my thing. The status quo is fine with them. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but the money, it's not even a drop in the bucket. Like, it's worse to go through the lawsuit, is what I'm saying. And they still do it. It's so fucking, it doesn't make sense.
Nope.
Anyway, so yeah, the lawsuit filed in federal court last week alleges she was fired unfairly and that she was subject to false, slanderous, and libelous allegations by superiors after she reported Masella for inappropriate sexual remarks on the job. She said in her last days at the department, things had gotten so bad she was worried that he would attack or even rape her. Drake was certain that the slightest slip could make her a target of severe harassment, termination of employment, or even rape, and said the suit. Drake was unsure whether anyone would believe her or if any of her colleagues would support her, given that Masella was a career man, second in command of the police department, and a very good friend with police chief James Brace. The woman officer joined the new Boston police in June 2013 as a probational hire. She was assigned to Masella for training, and the superior officer made it clear that she would think twice before confronting him about anything. During training, Drake said Masella constantly complained about other women working on the police force. One woman Masella said had issues and was always embroiled in drama. Another woman was fired without notice after Masella told Drake he can't stand her. Okay, the first one, I don't know if that was necessarily any form of harassment, because some of these people do be at job work having issues and starting drama. Firing somebody because you can't stand them, if he was involved in that, I mean, once again, I don't know. Depends. Yeah, why can't he stand her? Yeah. Did she stand up to him too, and that was your hint, or was she just a bad employee? You know.
Even if you can't, that's unprofessional. Mm-hmm. To say that out loud.
That you can't stand another employee?
Right. It's very unprofessional.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, get your petty on fleek and get your paperwork together and go to HR and get them fired. Do it the right way. Like, you can be like, I don't stand her. All right, let me get emails together. Let me get documentation together. Let me time stamp shit. Like, that's the way you do it. You don't verbally say that, because that's where the problem of the lawsuit comes in. You can't tell somebody, I can't stand you in a working environment. We gotta work together. And that's actually a form of harassment, telling me you can't stand me. I don't give a fuck. We got to work together.
Yeah. During traffic stops, Masella will remark on women drivers' attractiveness on a scale of rapeability. Now see, that seems over the line. He told her that he wishes sometimes he could drag the women out of their cars and rape them rather than waiting for a citation, than writing them a citation. See, this is why I think, okay, that's not office place gossip anymore.
No, that's not.
Saying I can't stand Miss Johnson or whatever the fuck. Saying I want to rape the customers. Okay, all right, buddy. I think you've crossed the line.
And two, this is just me speculating. He might not can't stand that woman because the woman done cussed him out. The woman's told him, like
that's what I said. It could be she stood up to him.
Right. And she was like, I'm not the one.
Yeah, people reveal who they really are all the time when they're talking about other people. Right. Marcella's harassment of Drake didn't stop at the end of the workday, the suit alleges. He began calling her during her off hours and once showed up at her house unannounced and asked through the door if she was naked. Okay. Yep, okay. Drake said he ordered her to falsify incident report at the DWI stop. Wow. Did you do it? The department later used the incidents as ground to fire her after she complained about his behavior. Oh, so that she did it because he's a superior, and then they went, well, you falsified this report. But you're only saying that because I told you he made me do it.
Right.
Well, yeah, you gotta go. Brian Cullen, Masella's attorney, said that Drake is making up charges to explain her termination. Masella said,
I believe that.
He is shocked by the allegation that absolutely denies him the suit. No, Drake is her. He's saying that Drake is making up the charges.
I thought he was making up the charges.
Yeah. The suit names Masella, Chief Brace, and several new Boston Town board members who approved Drake's firing as defendants. Drake seeks unspecified compensatory damages. That's, man, I'm telling you, man, some of the shit, it's all the good cops, quote unquote, end up out the force, man. It don't take long.
Mm-hmm. A lot of stories about people that went in and was like, nope.
Yeah. Ludacris, the rapper,
mm-hmm,
controls which pictures of his his baby mama can post of their child.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A few years ago, Ludacris and then longtime girlfriend Eudoxie had allegedly broken up, and Ludacris got a long time acquaintance Tamika Fuller pregnant. Tamika gave birth to Ludacris' second daughter, Kai Bella Bridges, in December 2013. And over the following year, the two went back and forth in court regarding custody and child support. Ludacris at one point was awarded custody, but it is unknown how long that lasted. It appears Luda and Tamika have been sharing time with little Kai, according to social media. In the last few weeks, we've finally seen pics of Kai Bridges, who's 2 years old now, and her new baby sister, Cadence. Oh, that's a nice name.
Mm-hmm.
So they appear on her father and stepmother's Instagram pages. According to recent reports, Ludacris is totally in charge of what photos the public gets to see. Court documents filed Wednesday indicate that a judge has allowed Ludacris to approve any photos Tamika posts of Kai on social media. According to TMZ, if Luda doesn't approve, the judge says he can force Tamika to remove them. Also, the judge says Ludacris has the final say when it comes to Kai's school, doctor, and religious upbringing.
He gonna pay for this?
I don't know. Luda has also agreed to pay a portion or all of Tamika's legal fees incurred during their long battle. Neither parent can use their child in interviews, articles for GoFundMe pages per TMZ, Ludacris and Tamika are reportedly still battling out in court, but, oh, that was some editorializing. That's interesting right there, man. I wonder if anybody else got that kind of deal where it's like, you can't be putting your own child, my child, on social media, because I said,
right, like that would be a big issue, because nigga, this is my child too. Like, who are you to tell me I can't put my own child? And that's one of the things where money talks. So I personally think the only reason why he was allowed to do that is because of his money. What normal person would say, you better not put my picture up there? Somebody would go, bitch, fuck you, and put that, do whatever the fuck they want do, and what you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean,
he got the money for recourse, so that's completely different.
I guess he ran out of Southern hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he said, you're not gonna use my kid for no money maker. Well, that's good. I guess sometimes you gotta stand up to your baby mama and tell him, move, bitch, get out the way. All right, I guess we need to roll out to the next song.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tone for five starter. Here's a terrible one. A Uber driver who was supposed to drive an unconscious woman home after a night out kidnapped and assaulted her at a motel after dragging her body from the back seat.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This started a dust up on my face. Please stop commenting on shit before you read an article. I feel like
a lot of people do that. Yeah.
PSA to the world. Let's read past the headlines, guys. Okay, let's go ahead and click that thing. If you're gonna write a paragraph in the comments, might as well click on the link and see if you know what the fuck you're talking about, because it looks pretty silly when you don't, you know?
Because then people tell you that, hey, that ain't what it says, or hey, did you read the article? And then two things happen. Either they go, my bad, or they get defensive.
Yeah, Daily Mail isn't exactly the best headline writers.
Mm-mm.
So you might want to read the article. An Uber driver is facing kidnapping and assault charges after taking an unconscious female passenger to a motel instead of dropping her off at home. His name was Stagny Pierre, picked up a passenger on October 18th who had blacked out after her friend ordered an Uber to drive her from a bar in Washington, D.C. to her home in Fairfax County, Virginia, charging record state. So basically, from my understanding, she was conscious all that time. She got in the car and passed out. So, and people order Ubers for people. We've had Ubers order for us before.
Yes, we have.
Because somebody tried to be like, well, it's the, her friend's fault, really, or her friend made, she messed up. And I was like, how did she mess up? I mean, people do this all the time. You say get an Uber because it's safe, or, yeah, you know, you're safer than driving drunk, you know.
Yeah, that's the way to blame the victim.
That's what I'm saying. It's just it's like a slippery slope to, well, you doing drinking that much? Well, you doing out? Why'd you have on? You know, like, it's just a slippery, it's like 1 degree removed from that saying.
So you're blaming me for trying to get my friend home safely.
Right. You know, and like I said, it's not like she was passed out and they just threw her in a car and said, well, bye.
Right. Cause if she did my job, passed out, she might not even have put her in there. She might have been like, okay, come with me. We'll find another route,
right,
to get you home. Or she might be like, well, girl, I can get home, but I just need you to get me an Uber.
Well, he took her home before he drove to the Budget Inn in College Park, Maryland, where surveillance footage showed him carrying the passenger into a room.
Well, I have a question. And I don't know, does the way the Uber function, does Uber actually, can they tell where the vehicles are at all times?
Of course. They drive you to your location. That's the end of the route.
Right. So can somebody on Uber like, hey, you're not on your route. You haven't dropped this person off at the destination. You haven't checked them in yet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't they have like an allotted amount of time? Okay, you should be here within this amount of time. And if you're not, something's wrong. Doesn't something flag in your system to let you know that this person has not made it to their destination yet?
Apparently not, Karen.
Okay, or am I thinking too far in the future?
I don't know.
Because the app tells me you 2 minutes away. Why can't the app tell me if I'm at my destination or not? Why can't the app tell me?
But what would that have helped her? I don't understand what would have happened with the scenario you painted. Because she was passed out.
She
did drive to the house.
Did he drive to the house and then go to the hotel?
Yes, that's what I just read. He drove her to her home, basically to fulfill the Uber route, and then he drove to the hotel. So Uber only tracks, did you get to your location? She did. Then he drove somewhere else with her while she was passed out.
But I still think that that's something that needs to be done, though.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how they would do it. It seems like a small thing to do.
Right.
Maybe a check-in type thing for the passenger.
Right.
Although, I guess then people forget and shit. I don't know, but something maybe.
Yeah, I do think that, because it'd be one of things where if it's taking too long, people, you know, you can kind of ask why. Maybe you're stuck in traffic, or it could, you know, just something for them to keep better track of people getting picked up and dropped off.
I mean, it pretty much keeps track. I just don't think you can do anything to stop criminals.
If
somebody gonna be a criminal, I don't know what's to be done, because it seemed like this was a crime of quote unquote opportunity.
Right.
For this, like, this guy probably didn't even expect to be sexually assaulting anyone, but then she passed out and he went, oh, you know what? I think I got time for some raving, you know?
That's true. And like you say, he basically took her home to quote unquote feel the obligation. So
right,
he checked it off like she was dropped off, but she,
right,
wasn't.
But she wasn't.
Right.
So yeah, surveillance video got him. He made sure the passenger's feet were not touching the ground when he carried her into the room. They remained inside until he made a trip to 7-Eleven, where he used a woman's American Express card to make a $14 purchase. He was arrested at the police they matched surveillance images to his driver's license, and he was released on $250 bond.
That's all?
That is all. Released on $250 bond. His attorney, Esteban Gurgley, denied that there was a lack of consent, telling the Washington Post, she's saying she doesn't remember anything. If she doesn't remember anything, she certainly doesn't remember saying, I don't want these things to happen. He also added, the facts of the case are very peculiar and they fall extremely short of being incriminating. So,
hey, you're
Derrick Rose defense.
A, you're a piece of shit, and B, I was supposed to get dropped off the fuck at home. How did I end up here? You checked in. I was through the fuck out of Uber. I was supposed to be dropped off at home, at my house. I never made it there. It becomes a problem.
Yeah, at some point, this slippery slope of, well, their personal contractors is going to bite Uber in the ass, because it's only going to take one judge or one case like this for somebody to be like, you know what? Fuck them. Sue them for all the money. This continues to happen. They've done nothing to mitigate it. You know,
be a class action lawsuit. Somebody gonna get together and they're gonna find multiple people that something like this. It doesn't have to be sexual assault, but something happened to them similar to this, and you're gonna have a class action lawsuit against them, and they need to be held accountable, because you take people's money and shit like that, you ought to guarantee that they get to their destination safely. You are accountable for their drivers.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know about class action. It could just really be one case, because it's just going to take one time for people to agree with the fact that they have not done enough to protect people. Mm-hmm. And I know some people are like, well, background checks and stuff, but it's got to be more than just background checks, because even with background checks, it seems like people are going to still slip through the cracks. You know, this guy may or may not have any criminal record, and the fact that the police let him out on $250 bond,
it's on his own.
Wow. We don't give a fuck about women.
Nope.
Like, you know, and the fact that she doesn't remember, you know, and he didn't say, oh, there was consent and she just don't remember consenting. He basically said she was too passed out to say no, so that's the same as yes.
No, it's not.
Well, obviously, I agree that it's not, Karen. Right. We both on the same show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. It's just frustrating when people say that dumb shit. If I'm too drunk, I can't say yes. If I can't say yes, the answer is automatically no.
Yeah. Uber removed him as a driver on the app when the woman reported him on October 19th. A spokeswoman, Brooke Anderson, called the incident upsetting and said Uber was cooperating with the police. Man,
are they really cooperating?
Ridiculous. He used her American Express card. She didn't say no, you know. And here's what's funny, there are people that understand the concept of she didn't say no to her money with the American Express card, but not with sexual assault. You know what I mean? Like, well, of course she didn't say you could use her credit card. Duh, that's stealing. It's like, yeah, I also didn't say you could have sex with me. Yeah, but you didn't say no. You know what I mean? It's, wow.
People are dumb. Yeah.
The fact that can even be a defense in a courtroom is so.
Right. It's and I think for me, it's so idiotic, and it's just so fucked up people's thought process when it comes to fucking sex and intercourse and shit like that. It's one of things where, you know, a lot of people are very grimy when it comes to it, and they're like, I gotta fuck you so bad that I will do whatever it takes to fuck you, even if it cross into these blurry lines, versus being you have a concrete yes. Not a drunk, not a passed out, a concrete yes. Are you sure? Is this good? You rather blur those lines and then act shocked and surprised when she be like, I didn't consent to this.
Yeah. Jasmine Sullivan apologizes to a family of dead fan.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, she recently was dragged to the depths of hell for curving a dead fan in a self-centered Instagram post. Sullivan just discovered Thomas T.C. Clay passed away, so she decided to post a message.
Okay.
The message was, I didn't know T.C. very well. What I do know is I gave him my number accidentally through a friend, and he reached out consistently for a year. I think I replied maybe 3 times, but that never stopped him from writing me. He was determined, LOL. I remember him bringing me flowers to a show I had in San Fran, and me realizing this was not the TC I thought it was, but that he was sweet. I remember going to Parkside recently and seeing him and thinking, oh gosh, he's gonna come over and make his moves, crying laughing emoji. But he didn't. He said a quick hi and instead got on the mic and made up an entire 5-minute song about me. But through the embarrassment and flattery, I thought, wow, this guy's gifted. I was literally amazed at how he commanded the stage with that little mic on that little bar freestyling. and if I actually heard his own music, how much more I'd enjoy him. I had no idea who was quote unquote bothering me until then and how dope he was. So I instantly followed him on Instagram, becoming more enraptured with his gift. Every once in a while he'd write and I reply now out of respect. I didn't want to say too much because I didn't want to lead him on, but I just tried to let him know in little ways he had my attention. I want to believe that made him happy. The last thing, thankfully, we talked about was me being on out with my girls and the Jameson on the table. He ended with, have a safe night, say a prayer for me if you go to church tomorrow. Now he's passed, and though I didn't know him well, I'm deeply saddened. I'm seeing peers mourn him and talk about how great of a man he was and wishing I got to know him a little more for my sake. He seemed to be a blessing here on earth to everyone that knew him, and though our time was brief, he blessed me too. From what I'm reading, it seemed he had a way that made everyone he knew feel real special. And that's exactly how I felt that night he sang to me. I'll never forget it. Just know it was your fan. I was your fan, TC, because I know you still got a crush on me in heaven. And you listening. Rest in paradise. You are truly a star. At Clayboy123. So what'd you think, Karen?
I guess it was her way of writing a cute goodbye note to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Let's see what the internet thinks.
Oh, I know the internet don't think this is good at all.
You curve me when I'm 6 feet under. I'm coming back like Patrick Swayze in Ghost and dumping all your makeup down the toilet.
Oh. Yeah, then, it's not cute. Yeah, it's a bait. And she was okay. It was okay, but then basically she kind of throw out there, oh, I know you want to fuck me.
Yeah, don't eulogize me with that, like that, man. That's,
I mean, she
was, that really wasn't even about him. It was really about her.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so after she got called out, she responded, after reading your comments, I can understand how some of you feel the way you do, but for that and to the people who knew and loved TC, whom I offended, I humbly apologize. It was not in my heart nor my intention to bring attention to myself, and I'm truly upset at the thought that I may have taken up 1 second in this time of mourning. I was just caught up in all the love for TC I had seen for a couple of days. So on that morning when I went to post a pic and caption about myself, instead I started thinking of him, and the next thing I knew, I was writing my story of how we met. I can see now where my details... there were details I could have reserved. Yeah. Like, girl, boy, I remember that day you text me an eggplant emoji and I just rest in peace.
Yeah, because she was quote unquote tongue in cheek trying to be cute, but she literally made it about her.
I remember when you used to bring flowers by and you said, how you doing, Miss Sullivan? And I said, nigga, you never getting the time of day from me. Then you sang your little song with that little tiny mic on that little tiny stage. And I said, bless your little tiny heart. But I knew that these legs were staying faithfully closed.
Ah!
But I just wanted to tell my truthful, lighthearted story to lift the heavy atmosphere. The main point of my post was not to show how I curved him or disrespect him by making him seem annoying, but to show how I missed the opportunity to get to know a great guy. Simply my regret at discovering his amazing gift and even greater spirit too late. It was a lesson on time and how I wish I had used it more wisely. A lesson I could have kept private.
True.
The biggest honor to his memory for everyone is to turn our attention back to where it belongs and sending love and support to those who knew him best and remember TC. Well, she cleaned it up. But yeah, that first post is hilarious. Mm-hmm. That's what I would write about an enemy. Somebody I don't like, die, I'm just gonna be like, oh, Samantha, let me tell you about the time she sent me her titty pics.
Oh Lord.
She sent me the news for over a year. Each time I said, that's cute. but please stop.
Oh, meanwhile on Instagram.
Yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yo. Can't believe I didn't make what's the tea.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's see what else we want to talk about, huh? There's a a pilot who's been suspended because he took photographs of himself wearing stockings and performing sex acts on himself at 38,000 feet.
Say that again.
A pilot has been suspended after taking photographs of himself wearing stockings and performing sex acts on himself at 38,000 feet.
Did he jump out the plane?
No. What? Why would he have to jump out the plane?
I mean, he's 38,000 feet, so he in the plane jacking off?
Yes, obviously. How is he going to get 38,000 feet above the air, above the earth?
I was like,
I said he's a pilot. What else could he be doing up there? Flying? He's not Superman.
But so he was, so he didn't have nobody with him, so he was flying the plane.
No, I don't, I mean, I don't know.
Like driving a car, I mean,
I don't know, Karen. Maybe he was on a solo flight.
Off and drive at the same time.
British Airways, well, he had autopilot. British Airways has suspended a pilot after pictures emerged of a man in stockings appearing to pledge himself at the controls. Although father of one, Colin Glover, denies he is the person in the photos, the airline that has employed him for 26 years has seen fit to temporarily relieve him of his duties. The snaps, believed to be taken on at least two different planes, show the stocking-clad figure with his legs up at the steering controls, while others, including a man exposing himself in the toilets and a pornographic magazine on the dashboard.
He was getting it in on this trip.
Airline expert Chris Yates told the Sun, this is a very dangerous if the plane is in mid-flight. Well, thank God they got the experts on the case. Airline expert to be like, you probably shouldn't jack off and fly a plane. If you are flying, you can fly into serious turbulence, he said. British Airways spokesman told the Mail Online, we are taking this matter very seriously and investigating. Mr. Glover's LinkedIn profile says he has long haul and short haul experience. B737-200, 400, B747, all the planes.
Yeah, I know he got long haul and short haul jerking too.
Mm-hmm. And the photographs appear to be taken on a 777.
That's a big plane, right?
Guess that's his lucky number. The photos are the latest in a number of serious incidents that plagued British Airways in recent years. They come just months after two British Airways pilots were placed under investigation after allegedly getting into a barroom brawl.
On the plane?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Fighting over the martinis.
Well, if you're riding British Airways, be careful.
Be careful.
Might be doing anything up there. This is your pilot speaking. We're going to be about 15 minutes delayed. Gonna have to circle around the airport one more time. Sorry, guys. Let's see what else happened. In France, it's now illegal to email employees after work.
Good.
Yep.
I'm off the clock. What you emailing me for?
That's right. Nothing can ruin a relaxing weekend or holiday like an unwanted email from the office, right? Well, because of that, France says if you're a company of 50 employees or more, you cannot email an employee after typical work hours. The amendment has come about because studies show that in the digital age, it's become increasingly difficult for people to distance themselves from the workplace during their off hours. Right. This new law allows people to get the full advantage of their time off.
Correct. And it allows workaholics to sit their ass down. Go somewhere and do something else.
Our studies show there's far more work-related stress today than there used to be, and that stress is a constant, says Benoit Hamon of the French National Assembly. Employees physically leave the office, but they do not leave their work. They remain attached by a kind of electronic leash like a dog. The text, the messages, the emails, they colonize the life of the individual to the point where he or she eventually breaks down.
Right, because you mentally don't turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've been at places where you see emails that come in like on Saturday. You're like, who the fuck is here? And that, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't care. And to me, it's sad, but some people, you have to force them to take a break. Like, I think you may have talked about it, have jobs now that says, like, when people go on vacation, they make them like turn in everything work related, no laptops, no telephone, no nothing work related. You are on vacation.
Well,
because mentally you need a break.
I agree. And I think also there's just a lot of people that in America specifically, this is in France, but in America we are taught because of capitalism that you're worthless and you have to be the hardest working and hard work pays off. And what it really allows is for a lot of employers to be abusive.
Right, and just work your ass to fucking death.
Yeah, there's jobs where if you take that job, you can expect to lose your family.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an expectation. It's not, like you look around the office and everybody, it's not unusual for everybody to have been divorced a couple times to not see their kids and shit. Because we've decided that work is more important than all that other shit.
Right, and you have to prioritize, and then people look at you and you be like, this ain't for me, fuck it.
Right.
What's wrong with you? Y'all not gonna work me to death. My family means something to me. I've missed all the plays, all the rehearsals, all the violin recitals. You know, for you know it, you know, your child has graduated. And, you know, people miss very, very important moments in their family's lives because of their job when at the end of the day, it's not that important and you cannot get that time back.
Now, the new law stipulates that companies negotiate policies that limit spillover of work into their employees' private lives. Although there are no penalties for work that violate the companies that violate the amendment, companies are to establish a charters of good conduct that specify times when employees are free from being digitally connected to their workplaces. So it's probably gonna be like midnight to 1 a.m.
So basically you can't I don't know how in depth this law is, but basically, like, look, if I don't reply back, I can't be held accountable. This, whatever the fuck you talking about, can't wait till I get my ass back in that office.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't know the specifics of the law.
Not unless my job requires me to be on call or something like that.
But I don't know the specifics of the law to give you an answer to the question you just raised.
No problem.
This article's not that specific.
Ah, okay. Okay, I'm with you now.
This right to disconnect amendment was passed as part of a controversial French labor law that some say will weaken unions and enhance employee job insecurity. The digital disconnect amendment was one part of the law that has been viewed favorably by the French public.
Right. Weaken unions.
Well, the overall law could have that effect, while this one stipulation might be positive. You know, this isn't all there is to the amendment, is what they're saying. This is just one part,
one piece of it. I'm with you.
Clarence Thomas apparently is still a gross sex perv, and he's at it again, according to wonkette.com. We have breaking groping news, and it is not about Donald Trump this time. It seems that Clarence Thomas, the silent and creepy Supreme Court justice who allegedly, of course, sexually harassed Anita Hill in the most disgusting way, mayhaps might have groped another lady. Can you believe it? Remember when that Lillian McEwen lady came forward to say that, yeah, she used to date Thomas and yep, he was gross, and you betcha he couldn't stop talking about porn with all the ladies? She wrote a book that said Clarence Thomas boner is banging, and that his body is coffee bean velvet covered cement.
That's a description.
Well, anyway, she is not the person coming forward this day in 2016 to say Justice Thomas against her will. We just wanted to remind you how gross he is in case you were playing hooky from reading Wonkette in 2010. The new accusations come from a lawyer named Moira Smith, who says Thomas groped her in 1999 when she was in her early 20s. Damn. Yeah, apparently a 40-year-old lawyer has accused Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas of groping her in 1999 when she was a young foundation fellow in Washington, D.C. The lawyer, Moira Smith, said Thomas repeatedly touched her rear multiple times as he pleaded for her to sit next to him at a dinner party. The alleged incident occurred, Smith said, when just the two of them were alone near the table she was setting for the party. Four people who knew Smith at the time confirmed to the National Law Journal that they recalled her recounting the incident to them soon after it happened. Thomas, of course, denied the claim.
Of course. But I believe he did that.
Yep.
Just like I believe he did that shit to Anita Hill.
I was setting the place to his right when he reached out, sort of cupped his hand around my butt and pulled me pretty close to him, Smith said in the interview. He said, "Where are you sitting?" and gave me a squeeze. I said, "I'm sitting down at the garden table." He said, "I think you should sit next to me," giving me squeezes. I said, "Well, Mr. Blair is pretty particular about his seating chart." I tried to use the seating chart as a pretext for refusing. He one more time squeezed my butt and said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." And that was the end of it. Yeah, it's also kind of wild how unsophisticated all these powerful men that come on to these women to be. It's all just like, "And then I grabbed her titties, I snatched her pussy, and I was like, you want some dick?" It's like, what kind of caveman shit is this?
Because you ain't got no game.
Right. Meanwhile, you're negotiating $1 million deals, or you're about to be a Supreme Court justice, or you think there'd be some level of sophistication to your come on line that was beyond just a guy in a crowded subway, but apparently no.
Nope. I got money, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So she said she's now speaking out because of the allegations against Trump. Sure enough, Justice Thomas did it with, I think, an implicit part of pact of silence that I would be so flattered and starstruck and surprised that I wouldn't say anything. I played the chump. I didn't say anything. Now, was this after his, I wonder if this was after his Anita Hill thing or before. Because she said 1999 was when he did this. I wonder what year, Google what year the Anita Hill.
I think Anita Hill may have been before that.
Which would be like, why would you this again?
Yeah, because Anita Hill happened when I was younger. In 1999, I was in college.
Yeah, so it's almost like you couldn't even help yourself. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? Yeah, you couldn't even help yourself in this case because you knew that you would be in hot water at, 1991.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember I was younger.
So 5 years, no, eight, almost 10 years later, you're still grabbing women by the ass in public. Wow. That says a lot. That says a lot. Let's see what else is happening. How about, you know what? Let's get to some of our segments, guys. Let's get some of our segments. Where my segment music? Play a little bit of Fucking with Black People today. That doesn't bother anybody.
What's it, please?
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's Fucking with Black People, the game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody.
Everybody in the club get racist.
Bang, bang, bang. Apparently, Lil Wayne continues to be interviewed about important things like Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
Now, he's recently been in the news because he said that he didn't believe racism exists because a white cop saved his life when he was 12, and when he looks out and sees his fans in the audience, he doesn't see color and shit. So, you know, he was like, you know, all lives matter to me. You know, getting stuck on this race shit. Why y'all always getting stuck on this racism? Why can't we just move on? Okay. I don't understand. So he did an interview, who was it with? Can't remember who the fuck this interview was. Nightline, there you go. He did an interview with Nightline, and the topic of, this isn't even the full interview. Hold on. Should I play this or should I find another one? You know what, let me find another one real quick. Give me a second, guys. I want to see if I can get him in context before he tries to accuse us of taking him out of context here. Give me one second. You know Lil Wayne is a stickler for the context, Karen. We all know this. Black Lives Matter. Google this up real quick. Videos. Mm. There he is.
And that's what Christmas is all about.
You hear that, boy? That's what Christmas is all about.
Actually, Granddad, this is a pagan holiday. And Jesus probably hates you for celebrating it.
There ain't gonna be no Scrooges in this house, boy.
Look, Granddad, it's clear from the scripture that Jesus was not born in winter. The shepherds who saw the angels announcing his birth went out in their fields in December. The Palestinian winters are too cold, if you believe in that sort of thing. The truth is, Christmas evolved from the Roman holiday Saturnalia, a winter festival where men gave gifts to each other. They also would get drunk, have sex with each other, and beat their wives. People would act so crazy on Christmas, the holiday was outlawed by the Protestant Church until the 1800s. As a matter of fact, the United States Congress... Granddad?
I'm sorry, boy. What was that?
I just explained the entire history of Christmas.
But it was boring, Huey. You just blah, blah, gay sex, blah, blah, Congress. You know, you got to be interesting.
All right, let me see if I can play for you guys.
Hip-hop star Lil Wayne doesn't ordinarily make an ordinary broadcast. A controversial encounter with the rapper is already getting major attention on Twitter. Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Lil Wayne.
He's a rapper. All the trappings of a bona fide rock star.
Oh, great.
I'm gonna marry him.
He's my...
Lil Wayne changed my life with his music.
Over the past 3 years, Nightline has been granted rare access to the reclusive hip-hop icon, Lil Wayne.
I'm a slave for your ear. I'll die to make what you hear great.
Lil Wayne has been making music for nearly 25 years. With hits like Lollipop. A mogul discovering megastars like Nicki Minaj and Drake. Lil Wayne, born Wayne Carter, was first discovered by New Orleans rapper Birdman, who quickly signed him to his record label, Cash Money. Wayne's first taste of mainstream success.
Man, this is like going through his whole history. I thought we were just gonna get the Black Lives Matter part. Let me see if I can get to that.
It's coming, baby.
So your daughter, would you have any problem with her being called Dora?
They calling her a hoe. I have a huge problem with that. Yeah, but I've never called a certain female that I name out unless I got a real big problem with her. Yeah. To
say. So I guess that was a defensive, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people do where it's like, all right, man, you say a bunch of fucked up shit in your music. Would you be cool with somebody saying this fucked up shit to people you care about, specifically women? And of course, there's always that like double standard of like, not to my daughter. I mean, these hoes and bitches better understand they don't call my girl no hoe, no bitch. She is a woman that you will respect that. But the rest of you whores and bitches, and I mean, unless I'm angry with a woman, I will respect her.
Unless I'm angry.
Unless she does something I disagree with, in which case she is a whore bitch. And,
oh, they're gonna combine the words.
Mm-hmm, and I will definitely say something then.
This father of four is controversial is an understatement. But the self-described gangster says he's often misunderstood.
That'll be the biggest misconception, that I'm some kind of rude. I don't know. And when they meet me, they're like, oh, you so humble or whatever, whatever. But I'm from the South. I have to be respectful and everything like that because I have someone to answer to. And that's my mom.
But Wayne doesn't really care what we think about it. He's unapologetic in just about every aspect of his life.
What's your relationship with weed? Every day?
There's God. It's my family. It's my kids. It's music and weed.
In that order?
Yeah.
Our journey with Weezy started back in 2013 at his own private skate park he constructed in Miami.
How do you, a self-described gangster, end up being such a prolific skateboarder?
I just fell in love with skating, plain and simple. The thing you love most about it is landing the tricks, landing them and landing them well, and being able to say you did that.
A few months later, he invited...
Now, it's important, the reason I'm playing all this is because you'll see when we get to his apology. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, but I want to play all this in order because it matters.
Take us to Amsterdam, backstage at a sold-out performance.
What are you thinking about when you're walking on stage?
Usually what's on my mind is just impressing the people, and I'm usually trying to fill the crowd out first. Let's go. Let's go. Being on stage for me is everything I ever dreamed of. I'm always at home on stage.
Nowadays, Wayne has been making more headlines than music. Due to an ongoing legal battle, his completed Carter Five album remains on the shelf.
Yeah.
Get prison. Has it been life-changing?
I learned a lot about people. You're all on the same level. You're all going through the same thing. Everybody wants to go home.
But outside of a jail cell, his celebrity status has clearly shaped his perspective. Recently stirring controversy on Fox Sports when he said he personally doesn't see racism because so many of his fans are white.
I thought that was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism.
There was a lot of backlash from people about that. Would you change it, what you said, or you still feel the same way? What's your thought on Black Lives Matter?
What is it? What do you mean?
The idea is that there's this movement called Black Lives Matter, thinking that the rest of America didn't seem to understand that Black Lives Matter.
It just sounds weird. I don't know that you put a name on. It's not a name. It's not whatever. It's somebody got shot by police for a reason. I am a young, black, rich. If that don't let you know that America understands Black Matter these days, I don't know what it is. Don't come at me with that dumb.
I'm a young, black, rich motherfucker. If that don't let you know that America knows Black Lives Matter these days, don't come at me with that bullshit. See, he's young, black, and rich. And so if Black Lives didn't matter, why would he be rich?
And it sounds like he don't even know what it means, the words behind it, because he's so separated.
Man, my life matter, especially to my
mom, I guess, to my niggas, I don't know. Then he winked at the camera.
Do you separate yourself from it?
I don't feel connected to a damn thing that ain't got nothing to do with me. If you do, you crazy. You connected to his flag right as I'm
So then he said that she was crazy as shit if she felt connected to, or I guess it seemed like at first he meant you, like if anybody does feels connected to Black Lives Matter, they crazy for feeling connected to them because they don't have nothing to do with you. And then he also says, I feel connected to, and he pulls out a red flag for, you know, Bloods gang. So that is a connection though.
I'm a gangbanger, man. I'm connected.
He ended our interview angrily. Lil Wayne is in the business of making music, not apologies. For Nightline, I'm Lindsay Davis.
He said, I ain't no fucking politician. Okay, all right. So that was the interview, and I wanted to play it within the context of it rather than just a little small clip. Because he has apologized, guys, okay?
Okay.
And he
but
said,
it's true, he ain't not a politician, but go ahead.
He's not a politician. He came out and he said, when the reporter began asking me questions about my daughter being labeled a bitch and a hoe, I got agitated. From there was no thought put into her questions and my responses. Apologies to anyone who was offended. So there you guys go.
That's not an apology.
You think Leslie Mack and them will be, and Drew will be writing that on the John? They're gonna be writing that apology.
That's not a good apology.
All right, well,
I offended you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, not sorry.
I mean, well, she did call his daughter a bitch and a hoe, Karen. She did that specifically. Mm-mm. So 0 to 100, Karen. What would you give this?
Oh, he get 100, and also it sounds like to me he has a disconnect, because it sounds like when she brought up Black Lives Matter, it's one of those things where people comment on things that they know nothing about. Because it sounds like to him, he's looking like, what the fuck is this? Like, it's almost like this is the first time it had even been presented to him.
Here's my thing. I think a lot, and this happens a lot with people in general, but especially celebrities. You say something stupid. It's not well researched, whatever. you then double down on it when confronted. It maybe that's what makes them successful. Maybe that's a trait that is just shared by many, many, many successful people. But rather than to contemplate what the critique is leveled against you, to just double down without even forethought is I don't understand. I mean, but it's something a lot of people do, you know, where you could consider what the person is saying and be like, okay, well, okay, and here's what let me elaborate or something. His shit was just like, fuck that, I double down, no, I don't feel no connection, I'm rich, I'm bye, you know. That being said, it is Lil Wayne, so for me personally, I have to give it 25, because I feel less fucked with, because Lil Wayne, man, no black person necessarily obligated to feel connected with the Black Lives Matter movement if they don't want to.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to be appreciative. You don't have to be considerate. You don't have to do any of that shit. If you just feel like, fuck it, they also are fighting for your right to be that kind of person too, mm-hmm. which is sad, but it's true. Mm-hmm. You know, freedom of choice. So, you know, what I just hate is when people like this then double down and say stuff like, y'all don't care about black on black crime, mm-hmm. or, you know, y'all want to kill the police, or
what about the keys of Chicago?
Yeah, that kind of shit, you know. Oh, I'm black whenever they get into some trouble, you know. That's all, that's the only shit I don't like, because, you know, sooner or later it will be that moment of, well, this is happening to me because I'm black, where y'all at, you know. But I don't know, it's Lil Wayne, it's really hard to take him that seriously.
That's true. You know, I dropped mine to 50, because yeah, he's not a politician.
Yeah.
So he's like, what the fuck you asking me these questions for? I came in thinking we was going to have one interview. We end up going another direction.
Right. All right. A fan wore a Barack Obama mask to a football game. Nebraska versus Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had a noose hanging around his neck.
Trump's America?
Yep. He decided that would be a good costume. That'd be President Obama with a noose. Mm-hmm. 0 to 100.
100, but nobody's racist, though.
100 for me as well.
Yeah, racism exists. Like you said yesterday, or day before, racism exists, but nobody's racist.
Mm-hmm.
How much sense does that make?
A student has admitted to scrawling racist graffiti at San Ramon High School. A student at a public high school in San Ramon admitted to scrawling racist graffiti in a school bathroom that read whites above one toilet and colored above the other. The graffiti was reported last week after administrators at the California high school spotted a picture of the vandalism circulating on social media. A spokeswoman said the student, who the school district did not identify, citing an ongoing investigation into the incident, admitted responsibility Tuesday, the day after a separate racial graffiti incident was reported in the girls' bathroom at the same school. These are serious incidents, and we will not tolerate hateful speech of any kind on our campus. You want to know what's wild? That was life in America.
Come on.
You know, it's so wild that we're like, man, that's hate speech now. People that are alive today, they lived in a world where you had to go to the colored bathroom.
Yep, I got family members that lived through that and can tell you stories to today. I got family members tell you about colored water fountains. I got family members that can tell you about people refusing them service at Woolworth. They couldn't sit at the counter. They had to go through the back. I have family members that actually live here in Charlotte. They can tell you they went like high school when CMS got integrated. So yeah, they can tell you stories about this. You think it's cute and funny, but this was people's lives.
Yeah, we can recognize how hateful it is now and the mental toll that it would have just as a joke, and that wasn't a joke for many people's lives. But yeah, man, because I know a lot of people are gonna write it off as it was just a joke or whatever, but
nope.
You know, that joke is something you have to live with, that your classmates think is funny because you're black, and that's what's funny about it. Right? So, at any rate, In the Monday incident inside one of the school's female restrooms, an unknown individual wrote a racial slur on the wall and indicated people of a certain race were not allowed in the bathroom. So probably no niggers allowed. Administrators photographed the disturbing declaration before the maintenance personnel removed it. In the earlier incident inside the male restroom, Grasswich said school officials found it challenging to investigate because the jarring message administrators saw on social media was erased from the walls before they could photograph the graffiti. What are they looking for? The handwriting style? Like, what the fuck?
No.
Officials reported both incidents to the police department, who was conducting an investigation with the school district. After admitting to writing "whites and colored" over the toilets in the California high school boys room, the student in question could face a range of consequences. The administrators are still figuring it out. Both racial episodes came after a week-long program called Breaking Down the Walls, which was held about a month ago to teach students how to improve race relations and give them a better understanding of diversity. God damn it. So it's a backlash to actually being taught about how to be sensitive to other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny how we're figuring this out, but when it comes to other shit, we have a zero tolerance.
Listen, you can't even wear a Black Lives Matter shirt to some schools. You know? But we got to figure out what to do to this kid.
Right. Like I said, we got to put our heads together, and we just got to figure this out. But yet, a young man goes and get his milk he deserves, and then now his family got to spend fucking money because the school system has a zero tolerance policy. Get the fuck out of here.
You want to know what's so interesting to me is, I guarantee you part of their diversity initiative, whatever, was like, we're going to have a zero tolerance policy for this kind of shit. And they ain't about to do shit. Watch. Nope,
because I guarantee you, it was not a Black child. If it was a Black child that have done this, it'd have been a problem. Or if they'd have, done it towards Jewish people, it'd have been a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to quote unquote pick the right target, you know, which is not fair, not right, you know. And I wonder, in this quote unquote tolerance, did they cover across the board? You know, did they talk about LGBTQ and it's come on, you know, let's all talk about our differences, or did we just talk about race and gender? Right.
Yeah. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
All right, 100 for me as well. Police, wife of Millbury cop faked a robbery and van her own home. Why is this in the fucking with Black people section, you might wonder?
Yes.
Apparently, on October 17th, Maria Daly, reported a burglary at the family home, saying jewelry and money had been stolen. She also reported that her house was tagged with graffiti that appeared to reference the Black Lives Matter movement.
You gonna say anything else, or can I comment
now? Go ahead.
People fucking kill me with this Black Lives Matter. People are committing goddamn crimes. These people that stand up for Black Lives Matter are not committing these fucking crimes. We're a fucking dumb ass country. I'm standing up for you to stop killing us. Why would I fucking commit crimes? This makes no sense.
Yep. The Black Lives Matter is the new Black people.
Right.
You know, like, didn't even, like, you're a police officer's wife. Wait, hold on. Things trying to play, but it's not playing. What the fuck? Come on, get it together.
The woman lied about a break-in.
Stop. Okay, cool. Let me see if I can fix it real quick. All right.
Yeah, that kills me. Yeah.
But what's funny is, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
But yeah, what's funny is, like, Black Lives Matter has become a stand-in for just Black people did this.
Right.
And it's never Black Lives. It's never anyone associated with Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. It's always just some white person framing Black people. It is so pathetic and see-through, but it's just the fact that we live in such an environment of fear with white people being so scared that people actually consider this a reasonable crime that people won't immediately see through. And probably to their benefit, there's a lot of white people who do the, well, there has to be two sides, well, let's wait and see. Mm-hmm. And so they might have people that actually go play devil's advocate or whatever, but well, how do you know they faked it? I mean, maybe Black Lives Matter did this. What if a Black person did it and they put Black Lives Matter? Like, no criminals thinking like that, other than a criminal trying to frame Black people. And this, you put this, you don't know any black people. This ain't the mission of Black Lives Matter. But you helping the movement? What are you trying to bring on some helter skelter race war shit in 2016? Oh yeah, ridiculous.
Vandalism, home, and
shit. Sorry, it's got a delay. So when I stop, come in.
Problems were motive. Easy. Live with the story in Millbury tonight, Jim.
Tonight, police here in Millbury tell me that right from the start, this story just did not seem like it was adding up. Now it has come to this: criminal charges.
There was no truth. There was no burglary.
A different day for Millbury police. The wife of one of their own officers facing charges. It all began on October 17th when Maria Daly reported a burglary at the family home. Jewelry and money stolen. She also said the house was packed with graffiti.
They said the graffiti is BLM. Not even to spell out the whole Black Lives Matter. Just BLM.
Referencing the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, police say they've determined the entire account was false.
This case initially came to our attention. I didn't think everything, something wasn't quite right. I think that was pretty.
Oh, great. This video is just acting stupid. Come on now. Oh, Shockwave plug-in crashed. All right, well, my dad, whatever that was. At any rate, she got caught lying.
Good. Did they charge with a hate crime?
Filing a false police report, misleading the police investigation.
To be charged with hate crime.
Right. And in her mind, what would she think was going to happen to the black people that were going to be suspects? That's what I want to know.
So they were going to go round up and harass niggas that didn't have jack shit to do with this.
Right. Specifically black people, specifically activists possibly?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, 100 for me.
Yes, fuck her.
Yep. It's just fucking evil, man.
Right. We've had read about instances before where you like, do you, you be like, I don't think you know black people, and it makes no sense for us to commit this type of goddamn crime. Now, we don't commit crimes, but this is a dumbass crime.
Right. All right. Let's see. What else we got here? I might as well do, we haven't done this in a couple days, so how about, here.
Yeah. You're not the type of girl to remain with the guy too shy, too afraid to say he'll give his heart to you forever. I'm not the boy that will fall to his knees with the same class type begging you please to stay with him for worse or for better. But I'm staring at you now. Around. I'm thinking you're the girl for me. I'm just saying it's fine by me if you never leave and we live like this forever. It's fine by me. In the past, I would try hard to commit to, though wouldn't get too far. It always somehow seemed to fall apart. But with you, I can see what I need. I'm just saying it's fine by me if you never leave and we live like this forever. It's fine by me. I'm just saying it's fine by me if you never.
All right, it's white people news time is what I'm trying to say, guys. Story number one: James Packer sent Mariah Carey loving emails before the split and asked her to marry me soon. Sounds like evidence to me she needs to get half, because he sent emails that said marry me soon. Okay, keep in mind Mariah Carey wants money from this man. They were not married. Apparently, she said, Evo, I'm in love with you and can't wait to get married and be together forever, he wrote, to her obtained by TMZ. I wonder who sent him.
TMZ be on it.
Yeah,
he did.
Mariah sent him.
Oh, okay.
There's a song I'm listening to now.
I say he did, but yeah,
Mariah. Yeah, her crazy mind. She think this means something. There's a song I'm listening to now that's got a lot of meanings, and I hope it makes you smile. When you get caught between the moon and New York City, best that you can do is fall in love. He appeared to be referring to Carrie as MCP in emails, aka Mariah Carey Packer. All my love, laughter, light, respect, and appreciation and admiration. Thank you, my fiance and soulmate, he wrote in a message with the subject line, will you marry me soon? MCP, please, smiley face with a whole bunch of like five parentheses. As previously reported, Carrie was blindsided by reports of the split. She read the news in Woman's Day, Australia.
Not the Woman's Day.
She read that every day.
The Woman's Day down under. Shout out to Wanga and them. Y'all got a Woman's Day.
Mm-hmm. She like, let me check out my daily Woman's Day. What? Is this in the headlines?
I know. Check out my Woman's Day, mate.
Right. I thought I had a dream lover.
Apparently, I'm about to be checkmate.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the second session real quick.
Okay.
While we doing that, because you guys know how it goes. Computer starts moving kind of slow these days. All right. There we go. And I will invite you and go live in a second.
Okay.
And call audience to session. Whoops, something went wrong with the connection to the stream. What in the R. Kelly is going on with my stream?
Okay, it says starting in 25 minutes.
Yeah, well, I can start it whenever I want to.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're getting ready.
And I just hit go live, and then I'm going to invite you. I think it was just a... I don't know why I said that about the stream. And, all right. Invite on screen. Yes. All right, so we should be back. And I know we're going to get that little echo when Karen comes back on. But he says, an insider previously told us that Mariah knew they were having problems, but our relationships have issues. It wasn't the kind of thing she thought she'd read in the paper, that she got dumped. She was devastated. She was shocked. Keep in mind, she is the person that threw his laptop out the window during their anniversary because it played someone's song that wasn't her.
Wasn't it Beyonce's song or somebody? She was like, nope. And he was like, bitch, you crazy.
She heard that y'all haters corny with that crash. Get this shit out of my face.
Oh, this song ain't about me.
Mm-hmm.
Or by me.
There was no infidelity or excessive spending to blame. Another source told us Packer wasn't into living his life in the spotlight. He's more private. She's always has her whole entourage and he couldn't take that. Yeah, she also was about to star a TV show, reality show. So maybe he didn't want to be part of that.
Ain't that the truth?
Someone on my Facebook told me he's losing money in his casinos and shit. So could be a lot of shit, man. Either way, it's not working out, okay? Let's see what else white people are talking about. Coffee should not come with political brainwashing. Starbucks suffers backlash after unveiling green unity cups ahead of election as customers demand traditional holiday designs. Well, ain't this a bitch? What happened? Normally they go on YouTube and make 37 videos about how Starbucks is an attack on Christianity for saying happy holidays, so they switch it up and say, why don't we just make some election, we're all the one race type cups, and then they like go back to the Jewish capitalist rigged system, go back to them Illuminati cups.
You just can't make them people happy.
An attempt by Starbucks to unify the country ahead of election day with a green coffee cup has backfired after angry customers threatened to boycott the chain.
I think some people treat Starbucks like the dude Kim Kardashian, and nothing you can do is right by them.
Yeah.
Like, literally nothing they do is right.
The company said the cups, which were unveiled on Tuesday and featured a drawing of more than 100 people drawn with one line, were intended to remind Americans of their shared values at a divisive time in our country. Mm-hmm. But the move appears to have angered rather than a united customer. Some thought it had replaced the company's traditional red Christmas drinking vessels, while others accused the brand of pushing a political agenda. of unity?
Because fuckers are crazy. People are insane. And it's what, November. I mean, the Starbucks, they can probably print Christmas cups in a month.
Starbucks, screw you. My coffee should not and does not come with political brainwashing. I dropped that Starbucks like a hot rock. Hashtag screw Starbucks was the name for Radio Anna.
The cup don't tell you who to vote for, how to vote. I don't comprehend this.
Catherine Kincaid, maybe they thought they meant vote for the Green Party. Catherine Kincaid says, at Starbucks, where are the holiday cups? This is ridiculous. Hashtag not non-festive. Hashtag hate it.
Like I say, they still might come out with the holiday cups.
Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz says the green cup and the design represent the connection Starbucks has as a community with its partners, employees, and customers. During a divisive time in our country, Starbucks wants to create a symbol of unity as a reminder of our shared values and the need to be good to each other. The imagery was created by artist Shogo Ota, and the design intended to communicate shared humanity and connection. Jersey for Trump says, at Starbucks, nope, stay out of politics. Haven't had your product since your CEO supported crooked Hillary publicly. At Starbucks, stop pushing your liberal bullshit and sell coffee. Lifelong customer becoming disgusted with the forced agenda. Hashtag holiday cups now. It seemed like it's all the same people. Mm-hmm. Wait, I blocked this person. Oh, cool. That's good. Fuck yeah. At Hillary for prison says, at Starbucks, all Republicans boycott Starbucks. Oh my God. At Starbucks, if there was a Venn diagram between people who are mad about the new cup and Trump supporters, would it just be one giant circle?
Right.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh well. Whatever happened to Thanksgiving is what I want to know. I mean, don't we got a whole another month till Christmas anyway?
That's my whole point. They could have been like, oh, we're going to delay the coffee cups. Their Starbucks ain't like they can't print coffee cups overnight.
Yeah. But that's what white people are mad about. They ain't got no real problems.
Come on now, fucking coffee.
Can you imagine being like, they changed the Starbucks cup? Motherfuckers. Can you imagine?
Less riot. I wish I had those type of problems.
I'm going to tweet at them. They need to know.
Yes, I want Lululemon yoga pants problems.
Yeah, at least when Popeyes gets rid of the $5 box, like, that's a real issue that affects the economy. Like, this isn't hurting anything. It's just the same cup. Coffee gonna cost just as much.
Right.
Fuck Brad Pitt. Jennifer Aniston's husband, Justin Theroux, sends fans wild as he appears to blast his wife's ex with expletive packed graffiti post.
Oh, what was this posted on Instagram?
I don't know, Karen. I'll have to finish reading the article. They have kept their silence over the collapse of Brad Pitt's marriage to Angelina Jolie, but Jennifer Aniston's husband, Justin Theroux, appeared to have taken a well-hidden swipe at the actress's very famous first husband. The actor shared a graffiti design by street artist Nick Flat to express his feelings around the upcoming U.S. presidential election. So, apparently, the graffiti has, oh wait, I can show you guys, hold on. Mm-hmm. I always forget that is an option with the chat, assuming it works this time, right?
You auto-tuning,
and hopefully I'm auto-tuning, because I love auto-tuning, guys. I woke up early in the morning.
Computer love.
All right, hold on, let me refresh before I try to share this. Let me refresh first and then I'll try to share it.
That's when it just clicked in my mind that if you just run through somebody's face, a lot of people ain't gonna be able to take that over and 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 over again. They just not gonna want that.
Think there's a deeper metaphor there?
Run through a motherfucker face, then you don't have to worry about him no more.
Here go away.
Mm-hmm. I'm almost back. I see you on my screen. Mm-hmm. There you go. So now let me try the screen share thing. Application. There you go. All right. Let me know if I'm still roboting, and then also let me know if y'all can see this picture. in the chat room. Whenever, if it comes up ever.
Sometimes it's a delay. Okay.
It's up?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a picture of graffiti that Justin Theroux posted on social media. And it's obviously a woman doing the middle finger and sticking it in her mouth.
Okay.
And then in the background, apparently it's like, you know, fuck cocaine, imperialism, fuck Facebook, fuck Osama, fuck steroids, fuck war, fuck the NSA, you know, all that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Fuck nukes, pickles, haters. And if you look in the circle, fuck politics, fuck Brad Pitt.
He mad at everybody getting some of that clap back.
I think he posted that whole thing just for that one hidden fuck Brad Pitt. The image showed a woman biting her middle finger as she flipped the bird. She was surrounded by expletives like fuck politics, fuck war, fuck imperialism. But one slogan sent his followers wild. Next to the woman's face is the word fuck Brad Pitt. However, the 45-year-old quickly shot down any talk of him throwing shade at Pitt as he updated the caption on his Instagram post. Now, you know he was throwing that shade, y'all. Come on. We've been around the block long enough to know when a motherfucker talking some shit.
Oh!
Come on. He put, what do you say? So yeah, they saw that. The post comes after the couple's mutual pal, Chelsea Handler, came to the actress's defense when the subject of Brangelina's divorce came up in a chat with Grazia, saying it was ridiculous. People thought she'd care. Shut up. Why are you trying to ruin this, Chelsea? It's ridiculous that people would think she would care. Get the fuck out of here. A famous ass divorce with the nigga to the woman and then getting married to the woman that is cheating with. Shut up. I can't believe people think she'd even care. She's totally over that. You know, cause she's not a human being with emotions or anything. Chelsea, who was the star of her own Netflix chat show, hasn't been afraid to address. Okay, why did this turn into a Chelsea lately? Cool. All right. So anyway, shade was thrown and then Chelsea Handler's show got a free advertisement. So that's good too. Mm-hmm. White people do must care about that. I guess they must watch Chelsea Handler, you know. I don't know any black people that's watching it. Don't write us black people that watch it. Hillary Duff is the latest celebrity to have to apologize for a racially insensitive Halloween costume. Apparently she had a costume of being a pilgrim.
Okay.
But her friend was a Native American and she took the picture with her friend, so it was the pilgrims and quote unquote Indians. She then said, I'm so sorry to people I offended with my costume. It was not properly thought through. I'm truly from the bottom of my heart sorry. Okay. And her boyfriend Jason Walsh, who was the Native American, posted on Instagram, I meant no disrespect. I have only admiration for the indigenous people of America. In hindsight, I should not have made that decision. I apologize to anyone I may have offended. Mm-hmm.
Got the pic.
You want to see this picture? All right. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one isn't as good as the last one, but hold on. Give me a second.
Hillary Duff was a child actress, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I was like, I remember that name.
Let me know when y'all can see it. Maybe I had to blow it up or something. I don't know how to. Let's see if I click on it, will it get bigger? There, can you see it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went full face paint, headrest.
Never
smiling.
Mm-mm. Never go full Native American unless you are Native American. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm.
Yeah, meanwhile they're gonna be hashtag
yeah, that's the rule with that one. Never do that.
Then they're gonna start hashtagging about the water. That where they've been arrested Native American people who have been we talked about it a long time ago, but it's coming to a head. Police are coming out there with the military stuff, arresting people and shooting with rubber bullets and all the shit that they do to us.
Don't that remind you of other things that have been happening across the country when brown people protest?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go down there and fucking shut CNN down and protest in front of CNN. Be like, hey, y'all 24-hour news. Why ain't y'all covering us?
Yeah, CNN not even covering it. Sad, really.
They got them 24 hours. We got time to talk about everything else but you.
Right. All right. In other white people news, let's see what we got here. Billy Bush and his wife appear to be having marriage problems. His wife is furious over the Trump tape and refused to speak to him after he embarrassed her and their 3 teenage daughters.
Yeah, because that's what she's concerned about, her image.
Sydney Davis, Bush's wife of 18 years, is furious about the tape and less than happy to have him back at the home with their 3 daughters. Yeah. She was so furious that she refused to speak to him for a while. They are having marriage problems.
You don't say. Now I got to look at you every day. You ain't getting up every morning and doing shit.
Meanwhile, they had a show the other day with Al Roker tweeted out because it was all black panelists talking at the same time. So they took a picture of the set and he put NBC today stands for nothing but color.
Yes! Keep throwing that straw. Petty on fleek and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And apparently the part that put it over the top was him telling the woman to hug Trump. So that was what his wife really took exception to.
Right, because he ain't going to grab my pussy.
Yeah, but you know, because it went from Donald just being the Donald to, yeah, but then you got out the truck and told that woman to hug him, so you in on it. Glamorous Melanie Griffith, 59, turns heads in a charming floral dress as she enjoys a night out on the town.
Oh shit, not a whole night out.
She's renowned for her impeccable fashion sense, often seen in glamorous gowns and elegant ensembles. And Melanie Griffith turned up the style stakes once again when she headed to the dinner at West Hollywood hotspot Craig's in Los Angeles on Thursday night. The actress, 59, turned heads in the charming floral mini dress that showcased her svelte physique in all its glory.
I wonder, is Craig's black?
Craig do sound like a black restaurant.
All right.
Like Craig's.
I really wonder, Craig's, do they got the $60 greens from Nordstrom's there or wherever that place was?
So Neiman Marcus.
Neiman Marcus, wherever that expensive ass place was.
So does that also mean that Craig's List is black?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That's one way to look at it. Tying her blonde locks back in a ponytail, she accentuated her striking features with a touch of makeup as she headed out for a bite to eat. The working girl star accessorized with earrings, a black handbag, and a ring on each hand as she completed her glamorous outfit with some black peep toe heels.
Yeah, I'm with you. She DM'd him and was like, hey, I'm going out.
Mm-hmm. Melanie looked a picture of happiness as she entered the diner with a beaming smile on her face. Her glamorous turnout marked a contrast from Wednesday evening when the star showed off her edgy side, sporting a black leather ensemble for Kanye West's gig. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she was out and about on the town, and I guess that was her when she went to Kanye's event. So there you guys go. Now you guys know what she was wearing. A very important day. Taylor Swift got shaded by Katy Perry during Kanye West's Famous.
Oh shit, what happened?
Apparently, Katy Perry went to Kanye West's concert. The fireworks singer, 32, seemed to reference their longstanding feud between her and Taylor Swift. At a concert at the Forum in Los Angeles on Wednesday when she Snapchatted herself making a face during the Yeezy performance of Famous. Mm. When West rapped, "For all my Southside niggas that know me best, I feel like Taylor Swift might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous." Perry scrunches her face and then widens her eyes in the extreme close up. Mm-hmm. extreme amount of shade just out of nowhere the precipitation index just came up.
Shady. And,
yeah, low down, shady behavior. I guess I can show you the face. It doesn't show. Oh, wait, does it play the video? Let me know if you can see the video in the chat. If you can see it in the chat. And then if you can, I'll play the video.
Okay, the box popped up. Yep, we can see it.
Okay.
Yes, her face.
Oh,
that was good.
Man.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was some good shade. Mm-hmm.
She completely has gotten her life to all this drama. You really have to give it up to her.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna tell them to stop.
And finally, lastly, in white people news, Ice Cube teams up with Disney for an Oliver Twist musical.
Make your money. Today was a good day. Ooh,
out of all the places Ice Cube's career could take him, we never thought the Cube Vision producer would be venturing into musicals. Ice Cube and Disney Studios are reportedly teaming up to create a modern-day musical of Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist.
Make your money.
Think of it as a fusion of Carmen, a hip-hopper, and Hamilton. Hopefully more Hamilton than the former. Right. Ice Cube will also be working with Hamilton director Tommy Kail, Jeff Quintanets, and Mark Platt, the seasoned producer who was behind Broadway's Wicked. The adapted musical will fuse all genres of music, including hip-hop, according to Billboard. Ice Cube and Quintanets are also penning a narrative for the new story. So
that's gonna be interesting. But yeah, no, I'm not against people crossing over, making their money. Mm-mm, I don't have a problem with it at all.
And of course, all that white people news brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Go to getbevel.com/tbgwt. Get your first month free at getbevel.com/tbgwt. I had a person on Twitter that said, hey, I want to use it because I'm Jewish, but I have coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. I said, man, use it. It's not black only. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are, there's a lot of people that the shaving game, the cosmetic game has not thought about. Mm-hmm. And that's not just specifically black people. There's people mm-hmm. that you fall outside of the quote unquote normal aesthetics that they
cater to.
And it's like, yeah, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to have you a nice clean shave with no razor bumps as well. So yeah, getbevel.com, getbevel.com/tbgwt, and you get your first month free. All right, guys, y'all ready to play a little bit of Guess the Race?
Yay.
All right, let me get back to my Guess the Race music and play it. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room and Karen play along in their races. All right. And Guess the Race, of course, brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Enter code TBGWT. You can get $3 off of any new subscription. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You can either upgrade. You can also upgrade to Loot Crate DX, which comes with like wearables and collectible items that are like one of a kind. Every month we get something where I'm just like, I can't believe they're putting this in a box and sending it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this month's theme is magical. Ready your wands, pre-measure your potions, and get ready for November's enchanting theme. Magical. We've cast a powerful ancient spell to deliver you this 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beast, and where to find them, and Big Trouble in Little China. Big fan of Big Trouble in Little China, guys. One of my favorite movies. So yeah, man, you're gonna get in on this. You need to do it before the 19th, okay? After the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, you don't qualify for this month. You missed the cutoff. You gotta wait a whole nother month to get your crate, okay? And don't be the one to miss out on things like that awesome Negan shirt that we got last month.
Yes, and that awesome Walking Dead cup. That cup is everything.
All right, now let's get into this racism. Student life can throw up many challenges: a lack of money, terrible food, and arduous all-night revisions before exam. But for one student, the main issue blighting her academic life was racy next-door neighbors in her halls of residence, who liked nothing more than engaging in rather raucous lovemaking. Jenna Levine, 19, is a student at Syracuse University in New York, and she took to Twitter to complain about her passionate fellow residents, but only after posting a note through their door. The note says, "Hello, neighbor. Please sex a little more quietly, please. Some of us are trying to nap and not be reminded of how alone I am. Feel free to make all the love you want. Just please make it nasty at a lower volume. Thank you." She wrote the residents of room 338 a letter about their nocturnal activities, politely asking them if they were to keep the noise down in the future. She then posted a picture of the letter on Twitter, captioning it, "College is weird," and writing "about to stick this under my neighbor's door" on the image itself. Her handwritten note, well, I read it. So she posted those photographs before tweeting a picture of the card. Amusingly, the postcard had photos of bananas on it. Okay. I don't know why we're having that. Okay, but cool. She did that. So after she did that, she got a letter back. Oh, okay. The letter back, the postcard back had bananas on it. Okay, cool. And they slid it under her door, and it also had a chocolate bar. It said, "Deepest apologies. Hope you enjoyed this chocolate bar." And on the postcard, it said, "Dearest neighbors, one, I'm so incredibly sorry about that. I didn't realize how loud I was being, and you know, sometimes having sex is low-key kind of hot, but obviously at your cost, which I apologize so sincerely for. I'm so sorry. I hope this hasn't occurred too often, and thanks so much for the incredible and hilarious card. I will for sure try to make it nasty at a significantly lower level, and hey, don't worry, you're not alone forever. The right person will come along when the time comes. I was single for 18 years. Haha, once again, I apologize so sincerely, deeply. Sorry, room 338. And yeah, so it seems like it has been, the tweet has been liked more than 110,000 times and retweeted 45,000 times. Woo. So Karen, guess the race of the woman who sent the original letter. Not the apology, but the person who had a problem with all this loud sexing.
What was her name?
Her name was, let me go back to the first paragraph, Jenna Levine.
Do, 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 I know, do, I know. I'm really do, trying to debate here. I'm going to go with my first instinct. My first instinct was white, and I'm going to stick with it.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe Jenna Levine's race is. Hey there, lonely girl, white. White. Adam and Eve is taking that lonely white woman's money, house, and her car. Oh. Snow White's mom. So passive aggressively white. White as the Syracuse snow. Girl, wait, hold on. White as the Syracuse snow. Girl wondering why Starbucks didn't have holiday cups for her pumpkin spice. White. Becky from The Burbs, white. All right, the correct answer is white. Yeah, I would have guessed black if I was y'all, because she said make it nasty.
Right,
but you guys,
and that almost caught me. That's what I was debating on.
But black women like, white women like Wesley Pipes too, apparently.
Apparently they do.
That's her picture there. So, like, she's not just white. She like, you know, Hallmark white. You know what I mean? So, hopefully somebody will make it nasty with her and she can stop being so jealous. Although I'm sure that it's bothersome as fuck, people fucking really loud right next to you. Alright, we'll do one more before we get out of here. How about here's one. I guess he's not guilty of lying. Rapper behind the song Sell Drugs is arrested after selling 70 bags of heroin to an undercover police officer. Ha ha ha. I guess he didn't want it to be no level of just an ambiguity between the cops and his rhymes. A rapper behind a song titled Sell Drugs is now behind bars after he allegedly sold 70 bags of heroin to an undercover police officer. Michael Anthony Persuade, 29, was arrested alongside Tiffany Irizarry, 28, on Friday in the parking lot of a Days Inn hotel in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Authorities said they found 70 grams of bulk heroin in the couple's room, enough to fill 2,300 bags with approximate street value of $11,500.
Bulk heroin? Heroin come in bulk?
Yeah, if you go to Sam's Club.
Apparently so.
Cutting agents, which are used to dilute recreational drugs, were also found in the room as well, along with a grinder and new packaging material, according to the Lebanon District Attorney Office. Persuade, who goes by the stage name Montana Mills, and Irizarry were arrested in connection to a month-long investigation throughout the city. Both Persuade and Irizarry are from Johnston, Rhode Island. The rapper, who was signed to the Alien Music Group label, has been charged with possession of heroin, possession with intent to deliver, criminal conspiracy, and criminal use of communication facility, among others. Irizarry's charge include possession of heroin, possession with intent to deliver, possession of drug paraphernalia, and criminal conspiracy. They are both held at the Lebanon County Correctional Facility in lieu of $100,000 bail. Persuade's catalog included songs titled Gunplay, Armed and Ready, and Groupie Hoes.
Ah!
Guess the race of Mr. Michael Anthony Persuade.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Let's see. Chance the Cracker. Come on, man. Black. French. You talk about the corner, man. I live this life black. Lil Wayne for president supporter. He couldn't, well, what race is that, Joe Spacey? That could be white people and black people. Oh wait, I guess right now it's white people, right? He couldn't persuade the cop. Black.
Aww.
All right, the correct answer is, and a lot of you missed it, he was black. Some of you did get it right.
No.
No, you said white. You said white.
I said white. Okay, he was black.
I'm assuming you heard heroin and thought white. I don't know why you went white, but yeah, you definitely went white.
Yeah, heroin.
Yeah, well, black people sell a lot of heroin. Should have watched The Wire.
Apparently so.
But that's him
they
right there.
They sell any kind of besides, apparently.
Yeah. Damn, he really didn't. I mean, his song, he had such hits as I Sell Drugs and Catch Me at the Hotel, shit like that. I wonder whose car he took a picture in front of.
Yeah, fanning out his.
Well, maybe he's selling that much heroin. $11,000 over heroin.
Yeah, my bad.
Could afford a nice car.
Yeah, I take that back.
Mm-hmm.
You bought it. It's yours, baby. Until it's seized.
You know, let's do one more. Because you're terrible at this.
I am. Bad.
Let's do one more.
I'm eating myself out. I'm at zero again.
See if Karen blows this.
Probably will.
She was upset at her coworkers, and then they started to get sick.
Okay.
For several weeks, the employees at JAS Forwarding couldn't figure out why they were getting sick. There were only 8 workers at the shipping company's office in Sterling, Virginia, but several were suffering from diarrhea and other severe digestive problems without any discernible causes. One after another, they started reporting similar symptoms, but they couldn't identify what the illness was they had in common. The answer some employees found wasn't an illness at all. Instead, the source lay in the break room, where the co-workers shared a Keurig machine to make coffee. In a report filed with Loudoun County authorities October 13th, the employees blamed former co-worker Maida E. Rivera Juarez, 32, for pouring cleaning solution into the coffee machine, poisoning others who shared the office with her.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. Rivera Juarez was arrested Friday and charged with felony assault. The report, according to WTLP, described Rivera Juarez as disgruntled, though it was unclear what was the cause of the dispute. She was also fired from her job, though news reports did not specify when she was let go. The employees at the place had been getting sick, didn't quite know what was going on. When she was coming in to get terminated, some of this came to light. Some employees at the company were unaware of what might be causing their symptoms until the news broke of her arrest. When police officers arrived at the office in Industrial Park, some nearby employees reported seeing her question outside before being led away. Rivera Juarez is currently being held without bond. No permanent injuries were reported as a result of the poisoning. Guess the race of Maida E. Rivera Juarez.
Latino.
Karen's going with Latino. All right, let's see what you guys think in the chat room. Use of cleaning solution made her public enemy numero uno. Aww. Latina. Okay.
Mexican.
Where'd you see that? Oh, Mexican. Okay, Latino with petty of a white woman. Ay, Dios mío, no mando, no bueno. Yeah, the correct answer is, and everybody got it, Latina. That must have been too easy. You guys all got it, even Karen.
Right, that one was too easy.
Well, it wasn't too easy how she was doing them damn, that coffee.
I know. They be like, is this you? No.
Right.
No.
Maya, have you seen anything going on with the coffee lately? We're missing a lot of cleaner.
No.
Maya, we know it was you, okay? Because we're all out of cleaner. All the Keurigs are really, really, really spotless. Somebody's been doing something to them. I think you need to come clean and tell everybody what the deal is, because if we had to get the police involved, you're going downtown, okay? So just tell the truth. But yeah, she...
tell the truth.
Her face looks like fuck them white people, though.
I don't know what they did or what happened, but she mad.
Yeah, her face in this mugshot. Like,
they deserved all the shit she would
do. No.
Her face was like, I would do it again.
Right, they deserved it, and I hope they didn't.
I don't know what they said to her. They probably was just talking in the break room about Trump. You know, I agree. We need to build that damn wall. Here she come. Hey, yeah. Maida, how you doing?
She had enough of all them. They did something to her, and she was like, I've had enough.
I got something for your ass, all right. Yeah, how I'm doing? Okay, how you going to be doing? I bet you won't be able to vote in November because you ain't going to be alive. Burn your stomach out. At any rate, last thing before we get out of here, got to talk about sword ratchetness. A man is accused of attacking his own sister with a sword. A Clarksville man was arrested Sunday, 4 days after he was accused of attacking his sister with a sword. According to an arrest warrant, Clarksville police were called to an apartment on Wallace Boulevard September 28th. Savannah Pogue Milligan told police her brother had attacked her with a sword. Guess the race? White. She said she entered the apartment and saw him hiding behind the door holding the sword. He always has it on him, she said.
Hiding behind the door?
Kind of David Carradine ass nigga always carries a sword.
And you okay with it?
Right. You Leonardo? Take your sword off. She asked him why he was there and they began to argue. She noticed he was wearing one of her necklaces and asked for it back. When he approached her, she grabbed the necklace, but he pulled away, causing it to break. Miss Pogue Milligan stated that Mr. Pogue then swung the sword around his body, getting ready to draw it from the sheath. She grabbed the sheath and pulled it off of her brother, and her brother then came at her with the sword. She told police everything became a blur as she tried to protect herself. The mother of both siblings told police she was present during the altercation and witnessed the two wrestling. She said Poe got behind his sister with his arm around her neck while still holding the sword. According to the warrant, she thinks that is when Poe scratched his sister's cheek and left ear with the sword.
Oh, wow, shit.
Photos of her injuries were taken into evidence. Poe was gone before police arrived and a warrant was issued for his arrest. It was not the first time the police have encountered him and his sword. August 9th, the officer saw him walking down Jack Miller Boulevard carrying a sword. Pogue looked suspicious but agreed to let an officer pat him down. The officer found a syringe containing a brown residue and Pogue admitted to having a drug problem. He was cited for a misdemeanor, unlawful drug paraphernalia, and release. September 9th, an EMT was sent, went to the parking lot of a pharmacy because he was acting irrationally. He told me he had worms coming out of his skin and on his tongue, which he stuck out for my inspection. He was charged with public intoxication and taken involuntarily to Tenova ER for treatment. Pogue later told police he had taken expired medication for anxiety, but it did not work out well for him. On Sunday, he was arrested at a car dealership after he was seen looking in the wheel wells of vehicles. Police served a warrant on him, charging him for aggravated assault in connection with the sword incident with his sister. A copious in connection with the public intoxication and a petition to revoke a suspended sentence. Yo, man, why is it okay for him to have a sword after all this shit he got into? That's still legal? According to the petition, Polk had been sentenced to 11 months and 29 days for civil drug possession, but sentence was suspended on condition he exhibit good behavior and pay court costs and probation fees. So he's booked on $14,500 bond right now, which is about $14,250 more than that fucking rapist got for the Uber driver and that shit. We'll be back Saturday, guys. For premium people, it's gonna be a long Friday for your boy, cause I'm doing a Nerd Off at 11 a.m. and then me and Justin are gonna do Balls Deep starting around 4:30. So yeah, I'm gonna be working hard for you guys. So we'll see you guys Friday if you're premium. If not, we'll see you Saturday for the feedback show. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.